Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. This episode features an interview we conducted with guitarist Derek Hawkins on the January 5th episode of Talking Metal Live. Now, at the time of the interview, Derek was a member of the Ace Frehley band. However, it was announced yesterday that Ace tapped guitarist Todd Youth, who's played with bands like Degeneration and Danzig, for his upcoming Australian tour beginning on February 1st. Now, since this podcast was pre-recorded, some of the information may sound outdated, but Derek is a good friend of ours, and the podcast turned out really well, so we wanted to bring it to you. So we wish Derek the best of luck in his future endeavors, and we also wish Ace, Todd, and the rest of the Ace Frehley band good luck on the Australian tour. So here's the episode. Check it out.
Hey, it's Exciter from the Talking Metal Forums, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Greetings, O Earthlings. It's Villa from Finnish band called Him, and at the moment you have the pleasure of enjoying Talking Metal.
Hey, this is John Five from Rob Zombie, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Evan Seinfeld from Democracy and Biohazard, and you're listening to Talking Metal Podcast.
Hi, this is Andrea.
And this is Chris from Lacuna Coil.
And you're listening to Talking Metal. Check it out.
Hey, this is Stephen Piercy. You're listening to The Rat Bastard on Talking Metal.
This is Ethan Death from Kill Cheerleader, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Mike Massera from Obsession. You're listening to Talking Metal.
This is Scott Boland from Obsession, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, I'm Tara Patrick, and you're listening to my favorite, Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Devin Townsend from Strapping Young Lad, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Scotty in from Anthrax, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Jeff Tate from Queensryche, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
God bless America! Hey, this is your blood brother of the American dream, Ted Nugent, celebrating the American rock and roll dream on Talking Metal. Live it up.
Hey, this is Richard Christie, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Derek Hawkins from the Ace Frehley Band, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. It's John Astronomy. I'm hanging out with Mark. What's happening, Mark?
Not much, John. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I am taking some time off from work today because I actually went in early because right now we were supposed to be interviewing Paul Di'Anno, the legendary Iron Maiden vocalist.
Yes, Paul, hopefully right now, is on a plane. I spoke with Roy, his, I guess, tour manager, if you will, early this morning, because Roy actually canceled the interview. I guess there had been an arrest with the guy who was driving Paul around. Always something with Paul Di'Anno, man.
Poor Paul Di'Anno, man. He can't get a break.
But he was in Canada, and he was supposed to be flying to New York, landing on American soil for the first time, I believe, since the 1990s. Definitely the first time since 9/11. Paul's had some issues getting back into the country since 9/11 because they've made it harder for people to get into the country in general. And when you have a police rap as long as Paul, and you have, you know, your religion down as Muslim, sometimes it's tough to get into the country. So we hope that everything is going well. We hope Paul is landing. I believe he was actually supposed to land at 12:30 at LaGuardia. So I hope he's on the ground here in New York. It's exactly 1 o'clock right now. We were supposed to be interviewing him over at Gibson, shooting it and, you know, doing our thing with it, maybe even airing some of it on MTV2's Headbangers Ball. That's been postponed. It's not canceled. We're either going to hook up with him tomorrow or possibly Wednesday before his show at BB King's. All this will be in the past by the time you're hearing this podcast, but he is actually doing a date in Jersey at Dingbats tomorrow night. So
wow.
Dingbats, then BB King's, two of the local rock clubs here in the tri-state area. Speaking of Dingbats,
yes,
yeah,
we are going to be performing on March 6th with the band Screaming Metal.
Yeah. Jay, you know Jay, our listener out in California?
Yeah, he's coming all the way out.
He's flying out
JV.
For the show. Last year, Z-Man flew out for the Screaming Metal show.
Yep.
This year, Jay's coming out. Z-Man, you know, we'd love to have you fly out again.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, if you're available. If not, we totally understand. Hopefully we get a good crowd down there. It is the second show, so I don't know if we're going to sell it out again. But,
right. And we really did sell it out, which is hard to believe, but for us.
Supposedly, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, the place was totally packed, and, you know.
We were told it was at capacity.
Yeah. And we know how many people we officially got paid for, which was a whole lot. And, you know, sometimes not saying anything negative about Dingbats, but, you know, a lot of times there's additional people there that maybe, like, slipped by or something like that.
Right.
So there
was a
lot of people
close
there.
Close to 300, I think. And I can tell you that when Brittany Fox was there a few months before us, they brought 34.
Right, so we had 300 people. Brittany Fox, 34
people.
And Brittany Fox is a very cool band. And you know, speaking of Brittany Fox, another Philly band, Cinderella. I heard "Shake Me" on a TV commercial the other day.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, good song.
That always brings in the money.
I thought that was a good tune.
There is a new record out, or about to come out. I'm not even sure. I think it's out. BK3 by Bruce Kulick.
Yep.
We've been featuring this song a lot on markstriegelradio.com. That's the 24-hour stream that goes on. And we've also done an interview with him up on that stream. He's going to be coming back on the stream with our friend Victor to talk about 10 songs that he's done throughout his career and go into detail about each song.
That's
which is
pretty
an idea.
Neat.
Yeah, Victor came up with that idea. And I think he talks about, like, Tears Are Falling.
Oh, that's cool.
He talks about some of his new songs. And I thought this would be, since we probably already have some Kiss fans listening today who maybe don't normally listen to Talking Metal because we have Derek from Ace's band on.
Correct.
Talking some Kiss with us. I thought this might be a good place to play the new single off of BK3, the Bruce Kulick record.
Yeah, Bruce is great. The last time
You've
I saw Bruce.
Time,
yeah,
right?
I've known Bruce like from back in the, you know, like maybe like Crazy Nights days. And when Bruce came to New York not too long ago to do a gig at the Hard Rock Cafe. It was a private concert. I offered him to use my guitars because, you know, he was going to have to carry something on a plane. And so we hooked up, went out to dinner, and I roadied for him that night. So it was really fun.
Well, you've done more than roadie with him. I could have sworn I saw some footage maybe on YouTube or something.
Oh, yeah,
of you
yeah.
on stage with Bruce Kulick and Paul Stanley jamming Detroit Rock City.
I forgot about that. Yeah. This was Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, and I was up at the Gibson Guitar Showroom with Glenn Hughes, legendary Deep Purple bassist and singer. And Glenn had to teach his band, Detroit Rock City. And I just happened to be sitting there. And
can you explain what to the listeners what Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp actually is?
Okay, Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp is it's like a week long camp. Sometimes they do them for a day or two, but generally they're a week long camp, and people pay a lot of money to actually jam with actual rock stars. And what happens is a guy like Glenn Hughes will be in charge of about 10 people, and they'll form a band, and Glenn will be the band leader. And they rehearse, and they go to clinics all week with, like, a bunch of cool people. And then the grand finale is a concert. And they usually do these in New York, L.A. They do them in Europe. And basically what happened was Glenn had to teach his band, Detroit Rock City, because Paul Stanley was the special guest that camp.
Right.
And he was going to go up with each band and do a song. Now, what happened was Glenn said, do you know that song? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, will you come in and teach it to my band? So I did. And then Glenn wound up asking me to perform it with them at B.B. King's. And since Bruce was already at the camp as well, he decided to jam along. So it was really cool. Bruce did his part, which was Ace's part. And then I wound up doing Paul's part. And Paul just sang without a guitar, and Glenn Hughes also played rhythm guitar. So it was really one of the absolute coolest things I've ever done. I mean, no doubt about it.
And what is that, like cell phone footage up there on YouTube?
It's like a little digital camera. There's a couple of other versions that people had that are better quality, and then somewhere floating around is like a pro shot video of it, but I actually don't even have it yet.
Interesting. Well, anyways, on that note, let's get into the new Bruce Kulick song. This is Hand of King. You can purchase this on iTunes, so definitely do that. Download it for 99 cents and support Bruce Kulick. I love the vocals on this. It sounds so much like Gene, but it's not. It's Nick Simmons.
Yeah. Making his...
This guy could have a future, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
He has some real talent. Reminds me of Gene, just slightly like... Maybe a slightly lower register.
It's pretty cool, man. Yeah. Sounds great, without a doubt.
Here it is, Hand of King.
Come along, we must be strong to reach the castle before dawn. Don't mind the moans of your feet, it's just a friend. Glorious seed among the stars as they align. At last you cry, this world is mine. Watch the stars as they align. Wings of jet black, never look back. Watch as the Riding.
That was Bruce Kulick from BK3, the brand new album. Definitely support Bruce. He's been a good friend for a long time, and he is a great, great guitar player.
And we will have an interview, brand new interview. It hasn't even been recorded yet. We're going to stream it live, I believe, next Tuesday, two Tuesdays from now. It'll be on February 9th on TalkingMetalLive.com, MarkStriegelRadio.com. What time is he calling in? I think
8:15 Eastern time. So yeah, that'll be 5:15 for you West Coast listeners and 8:15 for the East Coast people. And check your local listing
right, yeah,
when you're in the middle of the country.
Tune into the stream for a live interview that John and I are going to do with Bruce Kulick on February 9th. Also, Richard Christie will be stopping by the studio that day.
And we have another guest, too, a female chef.
Yeah,
correct?
The Morbid Chef.
Wow.
Will be calling in to discuss heavy metal recipes with us.
That's great. Where is she from?
I have no clue. I have no clue. But she has a new book out that she put out with Ian Christie, and you can check that out on his website. Bazillion Points is his blog. Just Google Bazillion Points.
Very cool.
Yes. So, and back to that Bruce Kulick song, use the link in today's show notes. You go down to TalkingMetal.com, go to the podcast section. Right there under the show notes for today, you'll see a link that'll open up your iTunes and bring you directly to that song. Those links help us, and any additional songs you then buy after you download the Bruce Kulick song also benefit us. We get a nickel or something per song, which adds up after a while, and we like getting those $5 checks every few months. So thank you for supporting us.
Yeah, thank you, and most importantly, we encourage everybody to support the artists that we have on Talking Metal, and that's an important thing because we want to show them that podcasting does help sell records.
Yes, definitely. Well, you want to set this interview up with
Derek?
Yeah,
we were at our last Talking Metal live show, and it was very cool. Our friend Derek Hawkins from the Ace Frehley Band stopped by. Mark and I, we hung out with Derek back at the Ace listening party that we put on, one of the two Ace listening parties that we hosted. And Derek is just a great guy. He used to be in a group called Stabbing Westward, which you were a fan of,
right,
Mark?
Yeah, yeah. And he's New York-based. I think he lives right here in New York City.
Yeah, and Derek is just a really cool guy. And the Ace band is all set to head to Australia very soon. They have gigs the first and second week of February, I believe. And I wish I could have went. Ace asked me to come, and unfortunately, due to my ridiculous schedule with work, I wasn't able to go. So, guys, have a great time down in Australia. If you live in Australia, be sure to go see Ace Frehley and Derek and the whole gang. Really put on a killer show. They're going to rock it down there.
Yes. And tune into the Headbangers Ball on MTV2. John and I do a lot of guest hosting on the Headbangers Ball. They're short little 30-second clips, five or six of them per episode, where we talk with people like Zakk Wylde, Rob Halford, probably Paul Di'Anno after we hook up with him and shoot that. Who else? Ace?
Ace. We had Ace on that. And we had Alan Flores from
Guitar Hero. Yes.
Yeah, so that was cool.
I feel like maybe there was somebody else, but I don't remember. There'll be a lot more Headbangers stuff coming to you from Talking Metal. And we'll see you back on Talking Metal real soon. A lot of great guests coming up. As I mentioned, Richard Christie, Bruce Kulick, White Wizard will be on. And hopefully, Paul Di'Anno.
Yes.
Hopefully he gets back into the country.
I really hope he does. It would really suck if, after all this cool stuff was planned, not just for Talking Metal, but for all the fans here in the United States, that some, crazy thing could happen, and like I said, an arrest. And just because somebody was arrested doesn't mean that, they're guilty of something. So, we've heard that there was some kind of an arrest, but, hey, let's wait and see what happens.
The tour manager didn't actually use the word arrest. Detained. Yeah, that was the word.
Okay. Detained.
Yeah. Anyways, here's our interview with Derek from Ace's band.
And why don't we hear a track from Anomaly right before the interview with Derek? Does that
sound
good?
We're going to end it with Outer Space. What do you want to play right here?
Let's play Foxy and Free.
Yeah, and we'll have those links up so you can purchase this Ace music on iTunes. This is Foxy and Free, followed by our interview. We'll be right back.
I can hear you guys acoustically.
The volume just went down, Joe.
I feel like the levels have dropped.
So anyway, guys.
Yeah, there we go.
They're back on now. We have a great show, as we said, and right here sitting next to me, we have Derek Hawkins, my good friend from the Ace Frehley Band. Derek,
hey,
what's going
up,
man? How you doing?
I'm doing really well.
Derek, thanks so much for joining us. I guess the main question that people are probably wondering, how does somebody end up in a band with Ace?
I'm wondering myself. No, actually, the bass player, Anthony, and I have been friends for about 12 years.
Okay. Anthony Esposito.
Yeah, we've been friends for a long time. And I think that when, you know, he and Ace were both in AA, that's where they met. And, or through somebody who, you know, was in AA. So when they were working on the record and they decided they were going to go out on the road, Ace asked Anthony, you know, find some guys who are straight up guys I'm not going to have to worry about on the road. And, you know, Anthony basically put the band together, you know, got Scotty, myself, you know, just because he knew we were good people and weren't going to, you know, try and relive our rock past, basically.
Right.
And, you know, which was a huge honor for me because I grew up with Ace. My first concert was Ace, like yours.
Wow. Yes,
probably
absolutely.
The same tour.
What tour was that?
The Dynasty tour?
No, see, I
know,
actually,
I'm dating myself right now.
Believe me, I wish I could have went to that tour. My relatives all went to see Kiss on that tour, but I didn't get to go, believe it or not. You're going to think this
left
is
at home, like Macaulay
the Asylum tour.
I didn't get to go. Yeah, Lick It Up tour was my first tour.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
so
you
I
know
didn't
what,
even
that was
see
actually
Ace.
A good record, though.
Yeah, no, it was a good record.
That was a really good record. But my dad took me for my 9th birthday.
Wow.
June 15th, 1979,
cool.
At the Lakeland Civic Center in Florida.
Right.
And it was the first show on the Dynasty tour, and I was thrilled. And to be playing with him 30 years later is huge.
And you know what's something about Lakeland is that's where Ace was shocked.
Yeah, 3 years before that.
Yeah, and that's where Shock Me came from.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that
some
back
trivia,
then. I was just psyched to be there. And, you know, I was like, I could see he was like the size of my fingernail. But it's a thrill. And, you know, over the last 3 years, we've become really close friends, Ace and I. And I love the guy to death. And it's just an honor to play with him. I mean, imagine like growing up and hearing all these songs. And it's a funny story, and Ace hates when I tell it, but every night during Shock Me, I mess up the rhythm part underneath, because when you hear him go into that solo,
right.
And you're like, wait a second, I heard this growing up a million times, and there it is.
Right.
Wow.
It happens every single night. It might be the Shock Me solo, or it could be the Lover All I Can solo. Actually, you know, maybe even more that one, because I always mess the punches up on that one. But it's incredible to
right.
to sit
yeah, it's
there.
A dream come true, man.
It really
for,
is
for just about most rock guitar players, but especially people that really liked Ace growing up.
Yeah, yeah. It really is incredible. Just for like as a guitar player. It's monumental.
Cool.
It's monumental. Probably even more so for me than the other guys in the band because, you know, he's the reason why I'm playing it. You know, right. I mean, no matter what genre of music I'm playing in, it's because of him. And I'm sure millions of other guitar players can say the same thing.
Definitely.
Cool. And you guys have done a series of shows already. I mean, you've been playing all over the States and you're getting ready to head over to...
Actually, we just got back from Europe
Friday
before Christmas. Yeah, we did, 18 shows or something like that.
And you guys went all over Europe, just about every country you were there.
I think I saw a hotel room 3 times.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, it was like show, bus, show, bus, show, bus.
Wow.
But some of the most beautiful places I've ever seen.
Now, did you guys have any trouble with the weather? I remember when this tour was being booked and Ace was a little concerned that there might not have been enough time to get from city to city if the winter...
Not for Ace, maybe for us.
Yes.
You know, he's flying around in a jet, but, you know, we're going on ferries and stuff, but we kept ourselves amused. We got there. We had a great tour manager who just, you know, after the show, everybody wants to hang out afterwards and get to meet people and you know, say hi, but he was like the one walking in, grabbing us by the collar and going, we have to get on a ferry.
Oh, wow.
You know, 14-hour ferry. And
was that Paul Allen?
That was Paul Allen.
Yeah, very good.
great guy.
Cool.
You know him?
I don't, but I just emailed him the other day.
He's, well, let me tell you, one of the funniest guys. And if he ever hears this, I'm telling you, he won't admit it, but he has like the whole Craig Ferguson thing down.
Wow.
And he doesn't think that anybody over there will notice it. But over here, since he's Craig Ferguson's so big, we're like, dude, you...
He stole that.
Yeah, you totally ripped that whole, your whole act off of Craig Ferguson. But I don't know. He's great.
Cool. So, Derek, what I wanted to do for the Talking Metal listeners is kind of take it back a little bit and talk about your history. You grew up in Florida, and then how did you wind up in Stabbing Westward? And tell us about some of your...
Well, I lived in Florida when I was a little kid, you know, from like, I was born in New York, moved to Florida, excuse me, moved back to New York when I was about 10. Played music, but, and you know, all through the 80s, had my own band called Closer in the 90s, and we were signed to a label called Revolution, which is part of Warner Brothers. And the head of Revolution was Stabbing Westward's manager. Now, it seems like throughout their whole career, they never really had a guitar player. They, you know, they would have, I don't know, this guy, Mark Iliopoulos, who was probably like, he was the guitar player before me. That's the only guy I really knew. I wasn't really a fan of Stabbing Westward. I was more into like Suede and Oasis and that sort of thing. It's just where my playing went over the years. And she liked my playing and thought that I would be what they needed. So for their last, you know, the last 2 years they were together, I was the guitar player. I don't know if I was the right fit, but... you know, I had a good time. Those guys are great guys and great. You know, the drummer, I have to say, was like probably one of the best musicians I ever played with.
Cool.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Andy Kuchevsky. He's one of the best musicians ever. He actually wrote most of their hits.
You know, one really cool thing is we were down at Guitar Player or Guitar World magazine.
We were at Guitar World.
Guitar World. I'm sorry, guys, for Guitar World people. We were at Guitar World. Ace was there. You were there. I was there. And the neatest thing is that one of the guys who worked there went and pulled out an older Guitar World and showed Ace it was you in the magazine.
Right. I don't even think he knew I was in a band. Right. He probably thought that like his band was the first band I was ever in. But yeah, I've been doing this for
a
long time.
Are you still in touch with any of the Stabbing Westward guys?
Actually, the only one I'm really in touch with is the drum roadie, Rich Carpenter. But, you know, as far as I know, I think Andy does, like, movie soundtrack stuff. Like I said, he was actually the only real musician in Stabbing Westward, you know, other than myself. But, and Jim Sellers, the bass player, I think he, one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet, but he actually has a, like, a natural food store that is like all over California now. But he, you know, those two guys were the greatest guys. Chris has a band called The Dreaming. And Walter, I think, is a DJ now, the keyboard player.
Wow.
Cool. And as far as I know.
Post Stabbing Westward, pre Ace, what were you up to?
Oh, just writing, writing songs with people. I had a recording studio that I would... I was one of those weird guys, and I know everybody says this when they get into the music business, that wanted to really help out people and not get anything for it. I wanted to record bands and make bands coming up feel like they really did make a difference. So I would offer studio time for nothing.
Really?
If I thought they were really good, then I would be like, you know, what? How can I help? If they weren't really good, then I would be like, you know, this is probably a huge thing for them to just be in a recording studio. And that was my passion. And I would, of course, be totally critical and go, you should change that part there and change that part there. And do you need a guitar player to play on this? And
yeah.
Cool.
No, but it was always, that's what I was doing. And, and I'm also a hair colorist. You know, when, you know, I love that too, but that's not why we're here.
Right.
I'll talk to you that offline about my poor hair.
But no, it was that between 2001 and, you know, 2007 when I met Ace, I was just recording other people and writing other people and trying to help out other people.
Now, when back to the Ace stuff, now, Anthony had started out recording the album with Ace at Schoolhouse Studios, and Ace had done a lot at his house in Westchester. And then the album was finished where you were kind of like the main dude in the studio with Ace, you know, helping to get the record done. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, Anthony started off recording, you know, I think all of the basic tracks, with the exception of two songs, were done at Anthony's studio. And then Ace decided he wanted to do the rest at his place. And it just worked out that way. It was probably the best thing because, you know, he has a great recording studio in Austin.
Right.
And it, you know, it actually kind of looks like this place. And it was, you know, he, as a guitar player, musician, it's the best thing. It's sometimes the best thing, sometimes not. But for Ace, it's the best thing to be able to walk down the road, walk into your place, say you like that guitar sound, and just do it at your leisure.
Right.
Ace, and that's what he's like. He's not one of those guys who goes, okay, I got to be down in the city at 7 o'clock and we're going to do guitar tracks. Right. No, he doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's like sometimes it would start at 7, sometimes it would start at 1 a.m.
Right.
And it just was good for me to be there as support. I only played on a couple of parts of the record, you know, but for the most part, it was just like I said, when Anthony got us involved, he got us involved because he knew that Ace could trust us, and he trusts me. And it would just, you know, he would do his part, turn around, go, is that okay? It sounds great. Or is that okay? It doesn't sound good,
right.
You know, but he trusted my opinion, and I put a lot of miles in my car going to get pizza.
Very good.
Yeah.
And just to refresh everybody on Anthony Esposito, who is the Anthony we are referring to, he of course did a lot of work with George Lynch too in Lynch Mob.
Yeah, right.
Some real classic records.
Yeah, and a George. Lot of recording in his own recording studio. You know, he's got like a list that long of people he's worked with.
Yeah.
A lot of classic New York bands, and we actually were down at Schoolhouse with Bumblefoot and Frank Ferrer.
That's right. And we
saw those guys play with one of Frank's bands.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Anthony's just a guy that's, you know, not only a great musician, but, you know, all of us musicians now have some kind of other gig that we're equally as good at. And Anthony's is set design, and he has designed like tons of sets for shows like MTV Unplugged and the VMAs and all that kind of stuff.
And great stories about all of those as well.
Yeah.
That's one guy who can remember. He takes like in everything that's going on and can tell you stories. I don't know if they're real or not, but he makes up a good story.
Now, here's the thing, guys. Many of you Talking Metal listeners may know that I was asked by Ace to go on a couple of these tours. And unfortunately, due to my current status with work in New York City, I was unable to go, which is just such a mess for me because, you know, it's a dream come true for me to go out on tour with Ace. And so I want to ask Derek to tell us some cool stories from the road.
And
how were the fans? How was everything?
Fans, I'm telling you something, especially after, and I don't mean to sound down on the last run in Europe, it was grueling. Out of all my years on the road or playing with bands, even on the most amazing tour bus, this was really grueling. It was show, try and have a drink at the bar, try and, you know, talk to people, get collared by the tour manager.
And then you're traveling,
you're
a second
the
later.
Bus, you're
See,
on
people-
the bus, and you're in your pajamas 10 minutes later, sitting there eating Cheetos and watching a movie with the rest of the guys on the bus.
Wow.
It was just like that every single night.
See, you know what? A lot of times fans don't realize that. They don't realize that you've got to go to another country by the next day.
Right.
And they think, you know, oh, wow, you know, they didn't stay for like a 30-hour meet and greet.
Right.
You know, and, oh, they're back to their billion-dollar hotel.
Yeah, but you know what, John? It's like they really do appreciate if you sit there and just just acknowledge for a few minutes. Because, I mean, we were in Germany, and I will say I was the guy who I would get up in the morning and sit out and smoke a cigarette with the bus driver and just see these kids lining up. And this is at 10 o'clock in the morning where we just pulled up. These kids, hipper looking than any of us could ever be.
Wow.
But they're there with their Kiss records and their Ace Frehley records. And all they're doing is waiting for like
all day from 10 in the
morning. From 10 in the
morning
in the freezing cold. Yeah. And I'm not joking, freezing cold like outside right now.
Right.
In Norway. And, you know, they're waiting there all day and walk out and not even to think they're going to know who I am. But I walk out and they know who I am and they want, you know, and they want to talk about Ace and it's like, okay, well, I'll finish my cigarette now. And then, you know what, when I come out for soundcheck, the guy's still there. When I come out after the show, the guy's still there. Some of the people would miss the show just to stand by the back door and meet Ace. And that to me, to make them feel important that's what the tour was all about. To see kids there I didn't even think they would know who we were. To see them there was the most important thing. That made like all the long rides, the 12-hour ferry rides and whatever, that made it worth it.
Wow. Very
cool. I really did. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, made it friggin' worth it.
There's a posting on a board. It's called Kiss FAQ, like FAQ.com. And, somebody went to one of the U.S. shows from the Midwestern run you did right before you went to Europe, and they have like a photo array of their entire day. And they were one of these people who were there in the morning, and they've got you actually outside smoking a cigarette, I think with a red jacket. Did you have a red leather jacket?
Probably.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And, but anyway, definitely go check that out, and you will see that. But I thought it was really cool because the guy had like, it was like a day in the life of going to see the A
show. It's really incredible. And you know, it makes this whole thing worth it because they really do appreciate it. And I don't know what I'm trying to say, but when you're in Helsinki, Finland, and you see somebody there who has records that they have like the rim from like the record wearing cover, and you know that's the original record they have, that's gotta mean something, man. Yeah. And if we don't acknowledge them as the band, you know, sometimes Ace, he can't do it. He's got a lot he's doing, but if we don't acknowledge it, then that's a shame because that's why we're here, to make this whole thing.
You guys
continue.
All compliment each other. You know, like I said, Ace, you know, spends as much time as he can with everybody at the meet and greets and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been, you know, lucky enough to see some of those happen. And what's great is when Ace, what he can't do, you guys pick up on.
Oh, absolutely. And, it's a pleasure.
You know, and I think it's very cool.
Because when I was 9 years old seeing Kiss at Lakeland Civic Center, had that happened to me, I would have lost my mind. Lost my mind. So I remember I was in, we were in Malmo, Sweden, I think it's called. Don't, you know, kill me for getting the wrong thing. But there was this kid in, you know, Ace's monitors. He can't hear too well. So he's got these monitors that are like the size of that couch. And they're facing right at him. And if you walk in front of it, it's the most painful thing you ever saw. I wear earplugs and I can't walk in front of it. And there was this little kid, and I swear I thought it was a girl. Like this little kid, blonde hair, killer face. I was like, this girl's going to, you know, her dad standing right in back of his guy's in trouble in a couple of years. It was a little kid, 9 years old. His name was Vincent.
Right.
He had long hair, the whole look, and he was totally rocking the Ace. And I was like, that right there, if Ace had like shook his hand, it would have made his life. And you know, that could change his life. That really honestly could make him go, I got to do music for the rest of my life. Wow. It would have done it to me. Yeah. You know, I did it. It did it for me at the Lakeland Civic Center when, you know, Ace was the size of that little, you know, display on that Pro Tools screen there.
Yeah.
But, you know, imagine like you're right there in the middle of his monitors, hearing his guitar, and he looks at you, gives you a pick. Incredible.
You know what? Go ahead, Mark, and then I want to say one thing.
I was going to ask, there was such a long period of time in between the last Ace record and Anomaly. What was the last? It was
Trouble Walking. Was the last real album. There was some greatest hit stuff in between.
Yeah, there was some greatest hit stuff and some one-off like stuff with like Anton Fig and stuff like that. But can we? I know Anomaly is still rather fresh and new for everybody. But do you envision another Ace album coming in the near future, or do you expect it'll be another long wait?
No, I think he's already writing it. And, you know, I have a ton of ideas and we know he's so open to hear things. I guarantee you he's already got some ideas in the can.
I think that would be great.
I think that I don't think he wanted it to be such a long wait.
Right.
You know, as we've all heard the stories before, he was starting it. He had the Kiss reunion. Of course, he had some other issues in between. But, I mean, just it just goes to show that when he does want to do something, he gets it done pretty quickly. I mean, when he really committed to doing the record, it took a lot less than, you know, a Def Leppard record.
Yeah, okay.
The story that I wanted to tell is that it was 1987, and September, I just went to college, and I was only 17. And it's a long story on why I had backstage passes, but my family had laminates for the Fraley's Comet Tour of the Planet. And I just go to Boston, and I'm standing behind the stage before Ace went on, and, you know, maybe there was like three or four or five people in front of me, and Ace walked out like they were getting, you know, the announcer already announced the band. He walked behind, you know, near us, put his hand through the five people, shook my hand. 3 seconds later, he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, and they played Rip It Out. And that changed my life. Just like you said, that
he's one of those guys, I swear to God, and people can say what they want about him. When he walks in the room, he's got a presence. And I'm friends with him.
Right.
And he walks in the room. If he was to walk in the room right now, I guarantee you, we'd all be just like,
right,
just watching.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible thing because he really does. It's not a sort of like, you know, godlike thing, but this guy's just been so important to so many people.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody knows who he is. You know, I can go to work tomorrow and somebody's going to say Kiss and you know, or I can say I play with Ace Frehley and they automatically know who I'm talking about.
Right.
Doesn't matter. It does. It has like this effect, you know, and he is one of those people. He's New York. New York. I don't care if he lives in L.A., lives in New York. The guy is more New York. I lived in Florida for 5 years, but my mom's got the thickest Brooklyn accent you'll ever hear. And she talks like a truck driver. So I know what New York is. This guy is total. He's so proud of it. When he walks in, there's a thug right there. You want to bring a thug in the room? I got a better one.
Right.
And he's 58 years old. Right? You know, and he's really, he's just like a cool old cat.
So you guys are heading over to Australia, where there's always been a real big Kiss fan base, even when the popularity slightly declined in the U.S. back, say, in the early 80s, Kiss was still going extremely strong in Australia. What can the Australian diehard Kiss fans expect from you guys when you land over there? Are any new songs coming to the set list?
Absolutely. I mean, Ace has been wanting to play things like Talk to Me, Two Sides of the Coin, Dark Light.
Wow.
I mean, he's absolutely wow. Like, you guys learned Dark Light yet? you know, he's like, and it's really, honestly, for all the places we've been to, he wants us to know them for Australia.
Wow, cool.
That's like
which is interesting because you're mentioning songs off of Unmasked. And The Elder, which were kind of two albums that happened during that time frame where in this country, you know, Kiss were still popular, but they were maybe not as popular as they'd been in, say, 78, whereas in Australia they were as big as ever,
right.
You know, and
huge.
Those albums, I think, were, especially Unmasked, very important to the Australian fan base.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, just like, just songs like I, and, right. You know, those, put that in a new band's hands, and that's a heavy, that's
right,
a heavy
yeah.
song. That's yeah. a heavy song. You know, there's some great songs on all those albums. I don't care what anybody says. You know, fans don't like that album. I don't think so, man. There's. I remember getting The Elder for my 11th, for Christmas 1981.
Right.
And I sat there and listened to it back to front, back to front, back to front, front to back, front to back, front to back. I know every lick of it.
Escape from the Island.
Oh, Escape from the Island. That's another one we're going to do.
That's amazing.
It's another one we're going
to
do.
Listen, you Australian fans, man, you are going to be in for a treat because I guarantee that these guys are going to pull out some surprises for you that no one is going to believe. No one has tried this yet, and you guys are going to do
it
starting February 1.
Yeah, the songs have never, ever been performed live.
Not even by Kiss ever.
Not even by Kiss.
They probably never even played them together. They were, you know, like you go into the studio and you record these songs, but, you know, they probably never jammed these songs.
You know what? And I might be really uncool for saying this, that I hope that the guys from Kiss are listening, that they really should play them.
Yeah.
Because I'll be one of the guys who says, like, the Paul Stanley. I've always been a huge Paul Stanley fan. So it's like his songs on The Elder, I think, are incredible. They really are.
Yeah. Right.
They're incredible. So,
well, it's funny you mentioned the you know, people are like, oh, well, the fans don't like The Elder. I disagree with right. anybody who says that. I feel the casual fan who goes and sees Kiss nowadays and doesn't care that there's two fake guys on stage, mm-hmm. maybe that fan doesn't like The
well,
Elder.
No,
I really think that the real fans actually do.
That was
you know?
Actually a slight comment to somebody I know personally.
Oh, okay.
maybe in the band. But it's just that it's an important record for me. And like you said, I honestly agree with you. The ones who are really into Kiss, those are the ones who say, you know, it's not a cult album. It's one of our important records.
Right, right.
Just like Unmasked is. You could say what you want, but Is That You? That's a pretty right. badass right. So, song.
I love Darklight was always
that
one of my favorites.
And that song yeah. is incredible.
Right. Yeah. I love Darklight. That was always one of my favorite songs, not just because it was Ace, but it was just a great riff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Darklight, and you know what? It's a really tough song to play.
I bet.
Yeah. I tried figuring it out, and I saw some people on YouTube figuring it out. And I was like, oh, I got it. I sit down with Ace. He's like, you're playing it wrong. It's in this tuning. And it's true. It has that sound. When you tune it like him,
I didn't even know it was in an alternate tuning.
Suddenly, it has that tuning. It's in the Keith Richards tuning.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just think it's hard to switch chords as fast as you have to in that song.
Oh, well, once Ace shows it to you, it's pretty easy.
Okay, cool.
Very good.
Now, Derek, before we let you go, and you're going to hang around here
I'm
today.
I'm chilling. I got to meet Carmen a piece.
You're going to hang out. We're going to have pizza. We're going to rock. But I got to bring up something that I think is out of control, and you are the guy, and no one knows what I'm going to talk about. You are the guy that's bringing the 335 to heavy metal.
355.
335 shape, 355
right.
guitar.
No,
that is, explain to people what the difference is between a 335 and 355.
Well, with the 335, although I have one of those as well.
Yes, I knew that.
You didn't help me out with that one,
I'm
but
sorry.
You did help me out with the newer one. It's a 335 basically with the custom binding.
Yeah.
And
Les Paul custom headstock binding inlays.
If anybody plays guitar, please try out the 355. If you find one, play one. You'll never put it down. And this guy right here got me my dream guitar.
What is this, a Les Paul?
No, it's like a BB King looking.
Like, you know the Lucille guitar?
Sort of.
Well, you know the BB King's guitar?
Right.
It's that, but with the F holes. BB King's guitar doesn't have the F holes.
Yeah, it just is.
But honestly, it was my dream guitar for like, I don't know, like 20 years now. And I couldn't get one. I couldn't afford one, or the timing wasn't right. I met John, and John hooked it up. So please, guys, I'm in debt to him forever. And I have to say, John, I know I might be rambling right now, but everybody I play that guitar for, I've done sessions where I have to do, whether it's like a Metallica sound or a Britney Spears sort of thing, nobody can believe how good that sounds.
Wow.
I could do a Lamb of God session get a sound with that guitar.
Wow.
Incredible.
Gibson 355, cool. Guys. Check it out. Gibson.com. GibsonCustom.com.
Cool. Yeah. Well, Derek, excellent. Thanks so much for joining us. We'd love to get a Talking Metal ID from you, saying your name and your band, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
It would be my pleasure.
Whenever you're ready.
Hey, this is Derek Hawkins from the Ace Frehley Band, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Cool, and this is Derek and Ace with Outer Space.
We know it.
Talking Metal Live.
To be a part of your game. But when I came from above, I looked around but you turned up lame. But now you're scratching and crawling your way up from the grave. You should have stayed in the dirt, girl. It's like I told you. Like I told you, I came from outer space. That's how I know your name. It's like I told you, I came from outer space. I
sick of my sweet love. And then the poison took. You hooked me up to your sick machine, and then I blew you up.